Hey there, folks. Welcome to Rock and Rally Tennis, where it's all tennis, all the time. I'm James Lynn. Follow us on Twitter at Rock and Rally. That's Rock underscore and underscore Rally. And on Facebook at facebook.com/ Rock and Rally Tennis. Rock and Rally Tennis podcast episode number 107 is brought to you by CareerWonder.com, the ultimate career resource site featuring video interviews of professionals from a wide array of industries, sharing the stories, journeys, and insights about their careers and jobs at CareerWonder.com. Well, the first Grand Slam of 2018 is now a historical fact. Congratulations to Caroline Wozniacki for winning her first Grand Slam singles title, and to Roger Federer for winning his 6th Australian Open crown and mind-boggling 20th career Grand Slam singles title. For Wozniacki, it was a great win as she finally got the proverbial Grand Slam monkey off of her back, and with it, returned to number one in the world in style, 6 years since the last time she was at the top. Equally as important, winning her first major removes Wozniacki from the rather unflattering list of women's number ones who had never won a major. Great win for Woz and a fantastic way for her to start off 2018. Now, Simona Halep played well in the final, but seemed to run out of gas at the end. Her quest for that elusive first Grand Slam singles title continues. Even so, there were some real positives from this tough loss. For starters, unlike the French Open last year, where she was the clear favorite going into the final against the 20-year-old Ostapenko, up a set 3-love in the second with multiple opportunities to go up 4-love, before a probable victory crumbled away in 3 sets, the level of Halep's play versus Wozniacki in the final was consistently high throughout the match. More importantly, despite this tough loss, Halep appears to have a certain calm and confidence about her now. Now, as I talked about in previous podcasts, if Halep can stay healthy, she should be in all of the Grand Slam conversations in 2018. Now, I still maintain the belief that for her to win one will probably require a couple of things to break her way throughout the course of the slam. Most notably, something to keep her match times a bit tidier so that she can be as fresh as possible deep in the second week of the major. Now, while finishing as the runner-up at the year's first major is probably not what Halep had planned on settling for, it is still a very positive start to the new season with the promise of even greater results for the rest of the year. Now, as exciting a final as it was, it capped off another major for the women where early round upsets and overall unpredictability was the norm. I mean, coming into the Australian Open, you could have picked one of maybe 15 to 20 women who had a realistic chance of winning the title. Now, even though the women's final held to the tournament seeding, featuring the top 2 seeds, the early round upsets were pretty typical of what we've seen on the women's tour over the past couple of years. I mean, first week upsets included Venus, Coco, Muguruza, Stevens, Kvitova, Ostapenko, and Konta, to name a few. And even where more highly competitive matches were expected, we saw some surprisingly lopsided matches, most notably Kerber's utter destruction of Sharapova in the 3rd round and then Madison Keys in the quarterfinals, and Mertens' wipeout of Svitolina in the quarters as well. I mean, the fact is, we pretty much got what we expected. Aside from Wozniacki and Halep, you know, the other real bright spot, I thought, was Kerber's return to top form. You know, we certainly look forward to seeing more of that this year. But as has been the case for the past couple of years, I really don't see the unpredictability on the women's tour settling down anytime soon, even when Serena officially makes her return to tour in Indian Wells in early March. It's likely going to take a few tournaments before we can probably gauge where Serena's game is at after her long layoff. So for the time being, it's likely we will continue to see a lot of different champions week to week. On the men's side, I mean, what else can be said about Federer that hasn't already been said? His 20th Grand Slam singles title again puts him 4 ahead of Nadal. You know, Federer played really well throughout the tournament, not losing any sets until the final. In the final versus Cilic, I thought both players got a little weary and tight in the 5th set. You know, Cilic simply ran out of gas after winning the 4th set to even the match. You know, Federer didn't play lights out in the 5th, but being the greatest of all time that he is, he jumped on Cilic in the final set as soon as the opening was there, and the rest, as they say, is history. Now, as we've talked about in our Australian Open preview, coming into the tournament, there were a lot of question marks on the men's side of the draw, led by several big-name players who were making their returns to tour after long injury layoffs. You know, Andy Murray was actually forced to withdraw before the start of the tournament and has since had successful hip surgery. He looks to make his return by Wimbledon. You know, Djokovic returned and appeared to be in pretty good form in his early matches. However, his injured elbow flared up again, and he made an early exit in the fourth round at the hands of 21-year-old Hyun Chung, who made a pretty strong case with his impressive Australian Open showing to be included on the list of favorite next-gen stars. As for Nadal, who had been nursing a knee injury since the Tour Finals in November, you know, he looked to be in pretty good shape right up until the point he suffered a leg injury in his quarterfinals, which forced him to retire from the match. Now, similar to my comments regarding the women's draw, we pretty much got what we expected for the most part from the men. I was not expecting much from Djokovic or Wawrinka, since this was the first tournament back for both of them in quite some time, and Nadal's health was a question mark coming in as well, and we saw the injury bug bite him in the second week. You know, as for the familiar next-gen players, it continues to be a wait-and-see at the Grand Slams. Sasha Zverev had another disappointing early exit. Thiem was knocked out in the fourth round. Kyrgios, I thought, played well, but ran into a hot Dimitrov who was on top of his game in that match. Now, on that note, there were a couple of pleasant surprises, one of which was, of course, the deep run made by Chung, who knocked off a couple of pretty big names in Zverev and Djokovic before having to retire from his semifinal match a set and a half into it versus Federer due to blisters on his feet. You know, Chung had been on the upswing in recent months. He won the next-gen ATP Finals back in November. You know, but for me, I'd like to see a little more body of work from him before, you know, declaring him as another next-gen to watch moving forward. I mean, he's got a pretty dazzling display of defensive capabilities, and because of it, he was already being compared to Djokovic throughout the tournament. And like Djokovic, Chung has a great two-handed backhand and return of serve on that wing. I actually think a more fitting comparison would be to Andy Murray, as Chung is not as lanky or whippy in his style of play as Djokovic. But with his deep run at the Australian Open, Chung will no longer be flying under the radar moving forward. Players and their teams will do their homework and make their adjustments accordingly. So let's see how things play out for him over the next few tournaments. Either way, it was a great tournament for Chung. The other pleasant surprise for me was Kyrgios. I mean, even though he lost a tough four setter to Dimitrov, I saw a different Kyrgios this time around. He seemed actively engaged in what he was doing at the tournament, and even after his loss to Dimitrov, Kyrgios' post-match comments and demeanor appeared to be more present and mature than we've seen previously. As I've talked about in previous podcasts regarding Kyrgios, I believe Kyrgios is the next-gen player at this point in time who possesses the most complete game. Now, Shapovalov is coming up pretty quickly, but I still believe Kyrgios is the one who currently has the most potential of the next-gens to break through and win a major. But, you know, time will tell. So that's one Grand Slam in the books, three more to go. The French Open is the next major up in May, where Nadal, if healthy, should be the favorite to win his 11th French Open crown. It will also likely be a few weeks before we find out whether Federer will play or skip the clay court season again as he did last year. But one thing is for certain. With Murray out until Wimbledon, Djokovic's elbow flaring up again, the health of Nadal's legs in question, and the next-gen group still trying to find a way to break through at the majors, 2018 may yet be another boom year for Federer. So stay tuned. Well, that's all for this episode, folks. Thanks for joining us at Rock and Rally Tennis. Please subscribe to our podcast at rockandrallytennis.com. I'm James Lynn. See you next time.